Well, that's always a joyous piece of music, the Circle Dance from the Suite Hebraic by Sroul Irving Glick. That was James Campbell and a few friends from the Festival of the Sound team. And that's one of the great success stories in Canadian classical music, I would say. Festival of the Sound in Parry Sound is now going on to its 46th season. 46. It has become one of Canada's premier summer music festivals, attracting world-class artists to the shores of Georgian Bay. And at the center of that story for more than four decades is the clarinetist we just heard, James Campbell, also artistic director of the series. And I'm delighted to welcome James back to our jukebox to talk a little bit about this summer's festival. Welcome.
Thank you, Daniel. Nice to chat again.
Always a pleasure. Running from July 22nd until August 8th. All right. Where do we start with this power-packed season? And I want to ask you a personal question. How do you keep this festival fresh after more than four decades?
I don't know.
good answer.
First of all, it's centered around great music. And of course, great music has been around for centuries. So four decades is nothing if you think of it in comparison to, a Mozart symphony or a Bach cantata. When I dig into that music, I get inspired. Also, quite frankly, it's the enthusiasm of the local people here. They're always super enthusiastic about all the programs that we do, and they definitely keep music at center.
It is wonderful that we have this incredible energy, music that has resonated for hundreds of years. And have you found that the audience has changed over the years?
They have. They've developed a wider interest in music, still rooted in classical music, but a kind of a wider interest. And it's really fun to hear someone who maybe came to the festival in their late 20s for a little bit, and now they're, because we've been around so long, now they're in their 60s and 50s, and they come back and enjoy it. It's nice to see the changeover of audience and the loyalty of a lot of our audience.
Loyalty, exactly. Isn't that fascinating, that perpetual, circle, the way, people are exposed to it at a younger age, and then they come back to enjoy it when they have the time and the means. I was just talking about that with a wonderful colleague, how that seems to work in our business still, classical music. Well, looking at this year's calendar, there seems to be a real mix of chamber music, jazz, family events, your inaugural cruise, that's always a hallmark of your series, and a few special projects in there. So I'm wondering how you're balancing that artistic depth with the accessibility that you're mentioning.
Well, it happens by itself in a way. Every late August, I look at a blank calendar and then just wonder, oh boy, what's going to happen? And it starts to fill itself in many ways. This year we had some gifts, for example, our opening in Agnesen and Kenton, on the second night of our concert, celebrating 50 years playing together. That's pretty amazing.
That is heartwarming. Yeah, of course, we love their recordings on our show.
They're great. And then the very next night is six pianos on stage of the Orford Six, a group, and they're celebrating the 20th anniversary. So we have lots of pianos. Then young Kevin Chen is coming at the end.
Yeah, rising star.
He might be 21 by now.
Yeah. Well, definitely a youthful sparkle in his performances. Absolutely. Well, you've covered the piano bass. Terrific. And what are some of the other highlights from some of the other instrumentalists you have coming this year?
Well, we have a kind of a reunion of sorts in our first week. Martin Beaver and the Griffin Trio and Dave Harding and Jamie Sunfeld have all kind of grew up together. Now they've all been out making big careers, and I thought it would be really nice if we had a reunion of all these guys. And so they all cleared their calendars and gave us a week, and they're all getting together. So I suspect that week's going to be full of parties, on stage and off.
So what I'm still hearing at the core is really the essence of the way the festival started. There's a very strong chamber music element to what you're doing at the heart of things.
Yes, that's our heart and soul, and everything comes from that. And even the jazz weekend, jazz is very, very close to chamber music. The only difference is that in jazz you're playing your own notes, and in chamber music you might be playing Brahms notes or Mozart's notes. The connection between musicians and the connection with the audience is very much the same.
Terrific. And now for someone who has never attended before, and can come for one or two events, where would you point them to, into what direction?
Oh boy, I'd point them to our brochure and tell them to look through. If they want piano, of course there's piano. If they want string quartets, if they want mixed programs, classical music. If they want jazz, they can come to our jazz weekend. That's always very, very popular. On Tuesdays, we have a special day. It's really for a wider audience, and people can try classical music for the first time. We don't charge admission. We say it's by donation, and maybe they want to just come and put their toe in the water, so to speak, and that would be the perfect place to do it.
Terrific. I feel a kind of pick-me-up Tuesday vibe there. Two for Tuesday.
There you go.
Any hidden gems that you're particularly excited about this year? Maybe something new you've integrated into your series?
We've done a couple concerts with programs called Music for the Curious Mind. That's for music that say that a concert may not jump out at you is the one, but if someone is a little interested in tickling their brain a little bit and tickling their ears with some very interesting new music, they could come to that. Actually, if I can be personal for one moment, on one of those concerts, it's a piece my son Graham wrote for me a couple of months ago, so I'm going to be playing that. For me, that's very exciting. On a little series called Music for the Curious Mind. If you have a curious mind, that's the place to come.
And I think that's most of us, you know, from music lovers to seasoned professionals. We always need to challenge ourselves. We always need to go a little further, right, than what's comfortable.
You said it exactly.
Terrific. The festival also isn't just about concerts. You have the music scores that we've talked about in past interviews and all the wonderful educational work happening throughout the year. Why do you find that important? Why is that investment in young people so important today? Of course, we tackled a little bit about the accessibility earlier, but maybe you can go a little deeper there.
If someone hears music that they enjoy and they don't know if it's classical music or whatever, they just hear, oh, I like that. So music scores is aimed at the 10 to 12-year-olds when they still have open ears and open minds. And we find that the reaction is terrific. And then we accept that they'll become teenagers and they, you know, do things teenagers do. And then they'll get busy building their career and then their family and there's no time. And we understand all that. But we hope that the seed has been planted that when they're in their 50s and 60s, they say, gee, I have time now. And I sure like that piece. Maybe I'll go back and check it out. And we find that happens quite a bit. So really what we're doing with music scores is planting as many seeds as we can.
Very, very encouraging words. And final question, after 40 plus summers in Parry Sound, what still gives you that feeling of anticipation when opening night arrives?
It's like, here we go. Let's jump on the car. But, you know, there's moments that thrill me. And you've experienced it, and you've experienced when you're playing, I know. It's when the audience is really focused on the music. And, you know, in this day, all the things that are going on in the world, a classical concert can be a wonderful sanctuary where you can be all alone, but not alone, joining with the crowd. And for 30, 40 minutes of a musical piece or for the whole evening, you can just be there with yourself. I often say to people, you don't have to know anything about music to like music. You just have to be open and let music get to know you.
Ah, beautiful. There's nothing like that quiet communal communication, you know, that happens. And it's so unpredictable. We never know which concert it'll be, which moment when we all of a sudden feel that moment of reverence. Everybody is just joined in that one incredible serene moment. Makes everything worthwhile. Whether it lasts a couple seconds or the whole concert, it is worthwhile.
Exactly. That's why we do it.
We keep doing it. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of your insights. We're so proud with the work that you continue to do every summer at the Festival of the Sound, the wonderful recordings you've released over the years, and this terrific energy, the way it just reinvents itself every year. Thank you, James. Thank you to you and your crew for doing this. And we're going to be watching and listening and getting out there this summer. The festivalofthesound.ca. Check out the website now. Power-packed series, festivalofthesound.ca. Any closing thoughts, James?
Just a very quick thank you to you, Daniel, for everything that you're doing. I can throw some of that back at you.
Ah, thank you. We're in this together.
We're in this together, that's for sure.
Much appreciated. Thank you, James.
Thank you.